Je déclare ouverte la.
The 79th plenary meeting of the General Assembly is called to order. Distinguished delegates, before proceeding to the items on our agenda, I should like, in keeping with established practice, in which the Secretary General informs the President of the General Assembly that since the issuance of his communication containing the document A/68/716/addendum 6, the Marshall Islands has made the payment necessary to reduce its arrears below the amount specified in Article 19 of the Charter. May I take it that the General Assembly duly takes note of this information? It is so decided. This information will be reflected in document A/68/716, addendum 6. The General Assembly will continue its consideration in a joint debate of Agenda Item 30, Report of the Peacebuilding Commission, and Agenda Item 112, Report of the Secretary General on the Peacebuilding Fund, in order to exhaust the list of speakers remaining from the meeting of this morning. I now give the floor to the distinguished representative of Luxembourg.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, may I welcome the statement by Ambassador Vladimir Dubrovnik, the permanent representative of Croatia and the outgoing chair of the PBC. I'd like to welcome his commitment and that of his predecessor, Ambassador Ranko Viljevic, over the course of 2013. We'd like to take this opportunity to wish Ambassador Antonio de Aguiar Patriota every success during the forthcoming year. We'd like to assure him of our full cooperation, in particular during the first yearly session of the Commission in June of this year. Luxembourg endorses the statement made by the European Union. Mr. President, in 2013, the Guinea configuration of the PBC, which was chaired by Ambassador Sylvie Lucas, went into its third year of activity. The efforts of the PBC in Guinea were focused on electoral support. These elections took place on 28 September, following inclusive political dialogue facilitated by the United Nations. This achievement was also due to cooperation between the Special Representative of the Secretary General for West Africa, UNDP, UN Funds and Programs, the European Union, bilateral partners, civil society, in particular women's groups, and the Guinea configuration of the Peacebuilding Commission. The Peacebuilding Fund, which Luxembourg continues to contribute to, has played a leading role in this country by making available UN funding in a swift, flexible, and dynamic manner. In 2014, the configuration will continue support to national priorities for peacebuilding. Two of those priorities are capacity building for the new National Assembly and strengthening the reform of the justice sector, as well as that of the security and the army. The configuration is also available to continue support to capacity building for the National Reconciliation Committee, as well as reconciliation initiatives in local communities. Under youth and women employment, the configuration might relaunch its efforts to mobilize resources, in particular hand-in-hand with the World Bank and the African Development Bank. The configuration would also continue advocating a fair and transparent management of natural resources and extractive resources so as to create lasting work for women and youth. Mr. President, we value the yearly debate of the General Assembly on the PBC. because it is a time for honest discussion regarding successes and failures of the PBC and future challenges. In 2015, the structure of peace building established in 2005 it will be discussed once again. Luxembourg is convinced that the potential of the PBC should be duly recognized, as it is an advisory body and an experienced and constructive support for countries emerging from conflict. Indeed, peace building and bolstering the state have a political dimension which the PBC, backed by its double mandate from the General Assembly and the Security Council, is in an ideal position to tackle. We must necessarily take on board the economic and political realities of a country, the root causes of conflict, the risks of corruption, poor governance, political, economic and social exclusion, organized crime, or even a political culture of the winners take all. Lasting peace building requires the resolution of political conflict in an inclusive manner, the establishment of national institutions that are transparent and accountable, as well as the support of the international community. We welcome the efforts of fragile states which met within the G7, as well as the national agreements in the framework of the New Deal. Mutual accountability doesn't just exist between the government of a fragile state and its international partners, but first and foremost between that government and its citizens. Peace building requires the conclusion of a new social contract. The state should be able to undertake its functions, which in turn provide it with legitimacy. The state must shoulder its responsibilities in the promotion and protection of human rights, the rule of law, the provision of public services for citizens. As others have emphasized, true national ownership is vital. The peace-building process should be inclusive. It should reflect genuine national consensus. It is by backing inclusive partnerships nationally that the PBC can truly bring a comparative advantage to play. The PBC must also scale up its activities in the area of the regional dimension of peace building. The Mano River Union is a great example. Three of the four countries of this region, Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, are helped by the PBC. Last October, these countries adopted a shared border security strategy, drafted with support of UNOWA and after consultation with the Peacebuilding Commission. We hope that these different paths could help the Commission providing increasingly relevant solutions to peacebuilding challenges in host countries and beyond. Thank you very much.
Je remercie le représentant.
I thank the representative of Luxembourg for that statement. And now I call upon the representative of Egypt.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, at the outset, I would like to thank Croatia, the outgoing chairman of the Organizational Committee of the Peacebuilding Commission, for the effort exerted to prepare this report. Egypt also expresses its alignment with the statement delivered by Tunisia as coordinator of the NAM Caucus on Peacebuilding. Egypt also looks forward to coordinating with the Brazilian delegation. Mr. President, the peace-building architecture in the United Nations is currently witnessing important developments, most notably the transition of the peace-building mission in Sierra Leone, UNIPSIL, into a UN country team that performs the national priorities for the future by the end of the current month. This transition experience represents an opportunity for the Peacebuilding Commission to liaise between the UN teams working on the ground in the countries where peacebuilding assignments have been accomplished on one hand, and the UN main bodies, mainly the Security Council and the General Assembly, on the other hand. to take advantage of the experience accumulated by the Peace Building Commission and its outreach to the international partners to prevent those countries from relapsing to conflict. In 2013, the peacebuilding architecture witnessed the developments in the Central African Republic. The course of events ever since has proved the importance of the role played by regional and sub-regional organizations in handling such crises according to a comprehensive regional perspective. It is the approach that would add new momentum to the peacebuilding efforts in light of the challenges faced by African nations in this region in general. Mr. President, Egypt emphasizes the importance of the ongoing efforts to develop the working methods of the Peacebuilding Commission to become more effective and responsive to the actual needs of the countries on the ground, and wishes in this regard to reiterate the following. A, the importance of national ownership of peacebuilding programs so that they can be more responsive to national priorities, and not to use a one-size-fits-all approach. B, the need to consolidate cooperation frameworks with international and regional financial institutions and search for innovative and sustainable solutions for funding problems facing the peace-building programs in full consistence with national priorities. C, having a wider coordination between the Peace Building Fund and international partners, especially the International Monetary Fund and the African Development Bank, as well as the United Nations agencies working on the ground to increase the effectiveness of the resources allocated from the fund. Egypt stresses the relevance of the recommendations listed in the 7th report of the Peacebuilding Commission, particularly with regard to activating the role of the general membership of the Commission, which is selected from a number of the principal organs of the United Nations, in order to enhance communication and coordination between the Peacebuilding Commission and these organs, mainly the Security Council and the Economic and Social Council, and advocating partnerships to provide sustainable funding for peace-building programs with a special emphasis on partnerships with the international and regional financial institutions. The ongoing process of developing the working methods of the Peace-Building Commission should maintain the ultimate objective of increasing the effectiveness and credibility of the Commission in performing its functions, and to further mainstream efforts exerted in the peace-building architecture through building on the lessons learned, with a special focus on priority themes related to peace-building, such as national reconciliation and achieving sustainable economic development in the countries on the Commission's agenda. Mr. President, Egypt is working in coordination with the Peace Building Support Office and the Chairman of the Organizational Committee of the Peace Building Commission in order to enhance coordination and complementarity between the peace building architecture at the UN and the African Union to further peace building activities in the 6 African countries on the agenda of the Commission. Egypt is working in coordination. Egypt renews its emphasis on the importance of national ownership, and Egypt exerts efforts to achieve that through an initiative to host an African Union Center for Post-Conflict Reconstruction and Development in order to enhance the African capabilities in these domains. Egypt will also coordinate with the Peacebuilding Support Office through hosting a workshop on the regional dimension of peacebuilding in the coming months. Egypt stresses the importance of having proper coordination between the peacebuilding architecture and the program of civilian capacities in the aftermath of conflict, in light of the many cross-cutting issues among them, in order to maximize their outcome in light of the limited resources available in the United Nations and the Peacebuilding Fund in particular. Mr. President, the expertise available to the Peacebuilding Commission and the Fund after 7 years of working on the ground represent an important source which should be used to achieve a breakthrough in the future. And Egypt expresses its readiness to coordinate with the Peacebuilding Support Office and members of the Peacebuilding Commission to make peacebuilding programs a true success story in Africa. Thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie.
I thank the representative of Egypt for that statement. I call now on the representative of Canada.
Mr. President, distinguished delegates, at the outset, let me express Canada's gratitude to Croatia and Brazil for the leadership that they have provided as the outgoing and incoming PBC chairs, respectively, as well as our appreciation to the Peacebuilding Support Office for their work supporting the Commission and managing the Peacebuilding Fund. Today's debate occurs as we begin to turn our attention to the next review of the United Nations peacebuilding architecture in 2015. As the annual report demonstrates, significant work has been undertaken in the country-specific configurations. Partnerships with other United Nations bodies, the World Bank, and regional organizations continue to deepen. Japan's stewardship of the Working Group on Lessons Learned has also steered the PBC towards issues and challenges that are more directly relevant to peacebuilding practice. However, if we are honest, the PBC's overall record remains somewhat mixed. When the review process begins in earnest, questions will be raised about impact in the field, the Peacebuilding Commission's comparative advantage, and the pace of its development. There is a continuing need to demonstrate real and tangible results. This must be our collective focus. In this context, Canada would like to highlight four issues worthy of deeper consideration over the course of the coming year. Premièrement, les configurations.
First, the country-specific configurations have gradually moved towards lighter and more flexible models. Expectations about the PBC's ability to independently mobilize funds have become more realistic. Both developments point towards an approach better suited to taking advantage of the diplomatic and political weight of an intergovernmental body in New York. This recognition that the PBC's value is as an actor capable of providing political accompaniment, including advocacy, convening, and outreach functions, needs to guide future work. It is also at the heart of the approach Canada and Sierra Leone have jointly developed in the Sierra Leone configuration. Second, the PBC has focused considerable energy on building its cooperation with other United Nations bodies and international institutions, with particular emphasis on the Security Council. These are important partnerships, and these efforts should continue. But it is increasingly clear that stronger working relationships with DPA, DPKO, UNDP, and other elements of the United Nations system are needed.
Transition processes underway in Sierra Leone and Burundi are important for several reasons. Most obviously, they are precedent-setting for the Peacebuilding Commission itself, and the lessons learned will undoubtedly inform similar planning in the future. The fact that the first two countries on the agenda are now on a trajectory towards transforming into more resilient states will allow the Peacebuilding Commission's engagement to come to a close, thereby freeing capacity to engage in new situations as required. However, this prospect should also prompt deliberation within the Commission about the level of demand from other states to take Sierra Leone and Burundi's place. Fourth, there is a need to better leverage the resources and expertise within the wider Peacebuilding Commission's membership. Aside from those directly engaged with a specific country situation, it is not always immediately clear to all member states how they can best make a concrete contribution. The Commission's broad membership should produce more practical support for peacebuilding efforts in the field than it currently does. Mr. President, taking together, these issues suggest that the next review should be both broad and deep. 2015 will provide a rare opportunity to make important course corrections. As such, the full range of issues affecting the peacebuilding architecture and its performance should be open for consideration. In particular, the Peacebuilding Commission should be prepared to acknowledge that elements of the design agreed in 2005 may need reform, either because some of the initial assumptions no longer hold or because the policy and institutional context has evolved in unexpected ways. As a committed supporter of the peacebuilding architecture from the outset, and by drawing on 5 years of practical experience as the chair of a country-specific configuration, Canada stands prepared to contribute to this important process. Thank you, Mr. President.
I thank the representative of Canada for his statement. I call now on the representative of Switzerland.
Monsieur le Président.
Mr. President, Switzerland welcomes the report of the Peace Building Commission on the work of its seventh session. We appreciate the analytical approach structured in accordance with the main recommendations for the review of the United Nations Peace Building Architecture of 2010. There are specific examples of the six specific country configurations, and the report identifies the main challenges and possibilities of the Commission. We agree with all the main points made in the report, and we shall confine ourselves to three points based on our experience as chairing the Burundi configuration. First of all, what is called inclusivity and national ownership, although the central pillars of the Commission, nevertheless do create real challenges. As the Ambassador of Jordan noted in the discussion on peace building in the Security Council last week, in most societies emerging from conflict, there is no possibility of owning anything, of anything owning anything. The Commission, depending on the will of the government in power, sometimes is prey to this concept of national ownership. We must think about innovative ways of respecting the need for national ownership while taking into account fully the specific features and needs of post-conflict societies. This is surely something we should pay real attention to during our 2015 review of the architecture. Secondly, the question of transition and the role of the Commission in transition is a priority for us. The United Nations Peacebuilding Office in Burundi is to have its mandate terminated at the end of this year. Transition from a post-conflict country is a critical moment in time. Ensuring a flexible transfer is crucial in order to prevent the country from relapsing into conflict. The Commission must avoid duplicating effort. The mission in the field must be responsible, and the Commission can only act in a complementary way and support the efforts being made. Transitions requires considerable coordination among many players, the goal being for the responsibility which had been incumbent on the United Nations mission now being shared among several bilateral partners, neighbouring countries, regional bodies, the UN system, the IFIs, all of them must take up the baton. The Commission, thanks to the great diversity in its membership, can act as a platform to promote coordination and coherence. It can do advocacy work, it can facilitate and provide political accompaniment and encourage financial sustainability. We would like to congratulate Japan, as chair of the Working Group on Lessons Learned, on the initiative to have an in-depth discussion on transition. And we are pleased that we will be closely associated with this process with a view to the 2015 review. Thirdly, we would once again recall that the Commission should act as the main forum for discussion on peace building in the United Nations, given its unique membership, bringing together the various groupings. We welcome the first annual session on 23 June 2014. The Commission must be more active in finding its proper place as the United Nations institution that is crucial to peace building. For example, the potential of the Busan process around the group G7+ and the New Deal should also be looked into and discussed within this Commission. And might I recall that the six countries on the agenda of the Commission have all signed up to the New Deal. Before concluding, Mr. President, may I say a few words about the Peace Building Fund, for its report is also on our agenda today. We welcome the valuable contribution for promoting peace building, and in particular, we welcome adoption of the third priority plan for peace building in Burundi. we are involved in political accompaniment as chair of the Burundi configuration, and we will continue to support efforts to better coordinate the fund and similar instruments of the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and UNDP. Mr. President, 2015 will be crucial for the United Nations peacebuilding architecture. Several delegations have mentioned this point. After the review of 2010, a second review of the architecture is envisaged for 2015. Switzerland believes we must continue the excellent work already done and think about how to further improve peacebuilding. The work done has been well done, but we believe that it is always possible to do even better, and Switzerland stands ready to contribute actively to the review. In conclusion, we would like to thank the outgoing chair of the Commission, who was involved in writing this report, His Excellency Ambassador Drobniak, and we also appreciate the work done by Mrs. Ching Hopkins and her team. And we would wish Ambassador Patriota all the very best during his term. Thank you, sir. I thank the representative of Switzerland for that statement, and I call now on the representative of Norway.
Mr. President, Norway thanks for the 2013 report of the PBC. Norway also thanks the outgoing chair of the organizational committee, Ambassador Dobrjanek, and we welcome the new chair of the OEC, Ambassador Patriota of Brazil. Let me also thank, or join others in thanking the peace-building support office, headed by ASG Judy Ching Hopkins. We are now approaching the 10-year anniversary for the establishment of the Peace-Building Commission. The UN peacebuilding architecture has demonstrated its added value. The PBC has mostly fulfilled a crucial role in sustaining long-term attention to countries in consolidating peace and create a conducive environment for long-term sustainable development through its core functions of advocacy, resource mobilization, and forging coherence. At the same time, we must acknowledge that there is a long way from New York to the field. As the report states, the Commission is not positioned to coordinate operational activities in the field. Governments and the international community, through, for example, the Special Representative of the Secretary General, are the crucial actors at the field level. It is encouraging to note the progress made in Sierra Leone and Liberia. Despite recent challenges, we hope that Burundi can move forward. We welcome the new chair of the configuration for the Central African Republic, and we are ready to contribute in stabilizing the country so it can truly embark on the path of reconciliation and peace building. Peace building is complex and involves many stakeholders. Norway therefore welcomes the efforts to further strengthen partnerships within the United Nations, with international financial institutions, private sector, and civil society. But there seems to be an issue on how to operationalize such partnerships. Evidently, peace cannot be consolidated unless there is a genuine national ownership involving all segments of the country concerned. In this respect, we in particular emphasize the role of women in the broad spectrum of peace building, including economic empowerment. Norway calls for the full implementation of the Secretary General's 7-point action plan on gender mainstreaming in peacebuilding. There has furthermore been considerable improvement in the way the peacebuilding fund operates. Norway values its flexibility and readiness to take risk and provide catalytic funding. Norway allocates annually US$5 million to the PBF. We encourage other member states to contribute as well. While much has been achieved with the PBC and other components of the UN peacebuilding architecture, there remains considerable room for improvements. The observations made in the report on the way forward for the PBC are constructive and sensible. At the same time, we must admit that these challenges are far from new. The 2015 Comprehensive Review provides us an opportunity to operationalize the necessary corrective measures. From a Norwegian perspective, the review will have to address the issues of transition from a country configuration to a more traditional long-term development cooperation with the UN. A country configuration should not last indefinitely. Furthermore, we should explore how the PBC can address conflict and post-conflict situations in countries which are not formally on the PBC agenda. The PBC review cannot be limited to the PBC, PBF, and the PBSO. We need a wider approach. Finally, Norway looks forward to the first PBC annual session on the 23rd of June, looks forward to contribute in the debate on sustainable support for peace building, the domestic and international aspect. I thank you, Mr. President.
Je remercie le...
I thank the distinguished representative of Norway for that statement. Distinguished delegates, we've heard the last speaker on the debate on agenda items 30 and 112. The Assembly has thus concluded this stage of its consideration of agenda items 30 and 112. The Assembly will now consider sub-item F of agenda item 115. To hold a by-election to elect one member of the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law. I would now like to draw the attention of members to document A68778. In which the permanent representative of Ukraine to the United Nations informs the President of the General Assembly that, according to the rotation agreement among the state members of the Eastern European states for membership in the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law, Ukraine is relinquishing its seat on the Commission in favor of Poland on the last day prior to the beginning of the 47th session of the Commission in July 2014. As a result, a vacancy has occurred, and a new member must be therefore elected to fill the unexpired term of office that Ukraine commenced in June 2010, on the first day of the 43rd session of the Commission. As you are aware, in accordance with Rule 92 of the Rules of Procedure, all elections shall be held by secret ballot, and there shall be no nominations. However, I should like to recall paragraph 16 of General Assembly Decision 34-401, whereby the practice of dispensing with a secret ballot for elections to subsidiary organs when the number of candidates corresponds to the number of seats to be filled should become standard, unless a delegation specifically requests a vote on a given election. In the absence of such a request, may I take it that the Assembly decides to proceed to the election on that basis? It is so decided. May I therefore take it that the Assembly wishes to declare Poland elected a member of the United Nations Commission on International Trade Law for a term of office beginning on the first day of the 47th session of the Commission in July 2014 and expiring on the last day prior to the beginning of the 49th session of the Commission in 2016. It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of sub-item F of the agenda item 115. It is so decided. The Assembly now has before it reports of the Fifth Committee on sub-items B and F of Agenda Item 116. That is, appointments to fill vacancies in subsidiary organs and other appointments. In order for the Assembly to consider the report of the Fifth Committee under these sub-items, it will be necessary to reopen the consideration of sub-items B and F of Agenda Item 116. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to reopen consideration of items B and F of Agenda Item 116 and proceed immediately to its consideration? It is so decided. The Assembly will now consider the reports of the Fifth Committee on sub-items B and F of Agenda Item 116, appointments to fill vacancies in subsidiary organs, and other appointments. First, I invite members to turn their attention to the report of the Fifth Committee on sub-item B of Agenda Item 116, entitled Appointment of Members of the Committee on Contributions. This is contained in document A/68/558, addendum 1. In paragraph 3 of the report, the Fifth Committee recommends that the General Assembly appoint Mr. Edward Ferris from the United States of America as a member of the Committee on Contributions for a term of office beginning on 26 March 2014 and ending on 31 December 2015. Mr. Shigeki Sumi, Japan, will be elected as a member of the Committee on Contributions for a term of office beginning on 1 April 2014 and ending on 31 December 2015. May I take it that it is the wish of the Assembly to appoint Mr. Edward Ferris, United States of America, as a member of the Committee on Contributions for a term of office beginning on 26 March 2014 and ending on 31 December 2015, as well as to appoint Mr. Shigeki Sumi, Japan, as a member of the Committee on Contributions for a term of office beginning on 1 April 2014 and ending on 31 December 2015? It is so decided. May I now invite members to turn their attention to the report of the Fifth Committee on sub-item F of Agenda Item 116, entitled Appointment of Members of the Independent Audit Advisory Committee. Contained in document A/68/562, addendum 2. In para 3 of its report, the Fifth Committee recommends that the General Assembly appoint Ms. Patricia Arriagada from Chile as a member of the Independent Audit Advisory Committee for a term of 3 years, beginning on 26 March 2014 and ending on 31 December 2016. May I take it that it is the wish of the Assembly to appoint Ms. Patricia Arriagada, Chile, as a member of the Independent Audit Advisory Committee for a term of office of 3 years, beginning on 26 March 2014 and ending on 31 December 2016. It is so decided. May I take it that it is the wish of the General Assembly to conclude its consideration of sub-items B and F of Agenda Item 116? It is so decided. The meeting is adjourned.